All right. Welcome to Pure American Podcast, episode 11. I'm your host, Fatty, with my other host, Red Boy. Today, we're going to be taking, I think, our podcast in a little, like a newer, I won't say like a newer direction, I guess.
Newer approach.
Yeah. We've been noticing it's been incredibly hard on us, you know, because we're struggling. But no, seriously, juggling our personal lives and doing this, as much as we love it, it's hard. So all joking aside, we're going to cut back the video, the length of which our podcast is. I won't say substantially. We're probably going to focus on, instead of like multiple topics, we're going to do one to two main topics and try and keep it anywhere between 30-ish odd minutes to maybe 45. Cut it back enough for you guys to listen like on your morning commute and not something that you have to substantially keep listening to over time. You know what I mean? And it'll be easier on us. You know what I mean? Just to crank out good quality stuff for you guys. With that out of the way, make sure you follow us on Twitter, Pure American Podcast. We are almost at 1,000 subscribers. Ain't that crazy?
You're welcome.
It's awesome. Okay. Tristan carries us. I just create all the artwork, write the scripts, and produce. But other than that, no.
He does the work. I'm here for him.
Yeah. I set everything up so he can hit the ball off the tee. Anyway, we appreciate y'all. But yeah. Road to 1,000 subscribers, man. We'd love to continue growing with y'all, and we do love doing this, no matter what direction this goes. We do thoroughly enjoy this. So with that out of the way, we're going to cover two things today. So if you don't know, the Chauvin trial is kind of coming to a close, right? It's coming up to a head. He just said he wasn't going to testify at his own trial, right? He invoked his Fifth Amendment. And then there's been some pretty big, I don't want to say like up and coming or kind of scientific look to the whole, how George Floyd ended up actually dying. You know what I mean? So there's been a lot. Also, I'd like to apologize in advance. If you hear anything in the background of myself, that is because our dishwasher in my apartment has flooded. So, apologies.
He put the wrong soap in it.
I didn't. I was showering, and I came out, and I think one of my roommates did it on accident. It wasn't the wrong soap. I think one of the pipes just burst.
I've done that before.
I think the seal came undone. But, yeah. So, anyway, back to Chauvin, right? For those of y'all that don't know, the defense is actually doing a really good job. Like, Chauvin's getting charged with, what did we say earlier, second-degree murder, third-degree, and then second-degree manslaughter.
So didn't you say charges. First, too? I thought you said first.
No, it's just it's second and third is the most extreme it gets. The defense is doing a pretty good job, though. You know,
which
there's
is
a lot
scary.
There's a lot of uneasiness. Like, part of me is like, if there's enough evidence to say that he wasn't particularly guilty, you know what I mean? Directly in causing his death. Like, I get that. You know, there's an argument. If that's what the jury comes up with and that's what they find, that is what happened. You know, that's the law at that point, right? That is the ruling for that, unless something's opened up afterwards. But the problem is what happens if he gets off clean and he's found not guilty?
He's not going to survive, really
big,
dude.
It's this really big moral dilemma we're stuck in.
He's going to have to leave the country, like... Mm-hmm. In all honesty, like, with all the civil unrest that's going on within the last year since last, like, summer, he's going to have to go somewhere that's not here because you're going to have BLM all over the place. You're going to have a bunch of people mad at him. It's not like, even if he changed his name, it's still going to be like, yep, you're the dude that killed George Floyd. Killed.
Your face is everywhere. His face is notorious. Just like George Floyd's. Like, everyone... Literally, out of 2020, I'd argue those are the two most recognizable faces of that year, easily. So it's interesting, you know what I mean? Because that, like I said, yeah, that image is burned in their mind. So for those of y'all that don't know, what is the defense saying that could lead to him partially getting off? Is the amount of factors that could have led to George Floyd's death. For example, the fentanyl in his system. His pre-existing heart condition. They had found traces of adrenaline and methamphetamine. And then they're also talking about, which I never thought about this, but it actually is a good point, where he was, the actual exhaust fumes coming off the police cruiser into his face. You know,
all
what I mean?
Those combined together on poses top of, a really good on top opposing of the position chase.
Of which Chauvin was on Floyd. So you're looking at all these different factors to the point where it's like, is it really? Because where this is the defense is going to win on this is Chauvin the key reason he died? Because if he isn't, then he might not.
They can't convict him.
Yeah, you can't convict him of all those charges. You could probably hit, kind of like with the Kim Potter, you could probably maybe say involuntary. Or I don't even know if there's an accessory to involuntary.
No.
Now.
It would just be involuntary because, I mean, he was on his neck, not okay. And what, then. What,
yeah.
No. Like, I feel like that would be the plea deal or plea.
Right.
Conviction that they decided to do because they don't want Minneapolis to get burned down again, along with all the other big cities within this country.
It's already rioting again, by the way, if you were listening to our last episode, which we're having problems with YouTube right now for some reason with that re-uploading. But it was up, and then we had to take it down for a quick edit, and then now it's giving us problems with the re-upload. But it is still on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all that stuff, so you can listen to it there. Minneapolis is already having other riots again because of the Dante Wright situation.
Same with Portland. I heard something about Seattle. I don't know how true.
But those two that places is, just look for any reason. I mean, the sky could start raining and that's racist, and all of a sudden they'll just go out and riot because they have nothing better to do.
Well, I mean, it's the West Coast. The sun could come out and they'd be like, yeah, that's racist. They're used to rain.
I thought of a really dark joke about the sun coming out.
Let's not say it.
Let's not give YouTube another reason as we're closing in on gaining more traction on the platform. It's probably not a good idea. I'm kidding. We don't care. We honestly we don't give a rip anyway. But so, honestly, it's, like I said earlier, it's a moral dilemma. You know what I mean? If there's not enough evidence to convict him of all those charges, I personally don't think he should be convicted because that's not how our justice system should work. You shouldn't, no matter how bad the crime is, you shouldn't jail somebody strictly because of peer pressure, essentially, from society. If there's not enough evidence, I'd want that for the same way if it was like if it was a black man on trial or anyone else on trial. You know what I mean? Like the Aaron Hernandez thing or the OJ thing is another thing that was kind of like this.
It's like, it's one of those things. It's just, you don't want him to be wrongfully convicted, but with today's society, I would not put it past society bowling the court into convicting them or convicting him.
Do you know how bad that would be? It's like you draw jury duty on this one case. It's like, all right, I got jury duty. What's the case? Ah, crap. Because you know, right, it's your job as a juror to not let those societal influences lead you.
All those people who got that envelope. It's like, yeah, you got jury duty for the Derek Chauvin, George Floyd case.
On top of this, if they do say there's not enough evidence to convict them, not only are they going to be coming for Chauvin's head, they're going to be turning their attentions to the jurors. Yeah. I know they will. I'm calling that right now.
I don't know if they're going to make the people who attended jury duty, I don't know if they're going to make it public. That'd be fucked up if they did. If they did decide to make it public of the, how many people? Is it like 12 people?
But isn't it public knowledge, though, already?
I don't sure think they're, I don't know if their names are public knowledge. I mean, it might be, but I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if there's a difference for high-profile cases. If you know, let us know in the comments. Yeah, or Tristan, look it up right now.
Yeah.
On
Derek Chauvin case. Let's see. Oh, shit. Okay.
So we'll edit that part out. It was just the wrong use of soap.
So, yeah, they do have their names out. There were 1,300 potential jurors. And yeah, I was right. Now they're down to 12 with three alternatives. And
yep,
they got all of them right there.
That's what I'm saying. It's public knowledge. Also, update to everyone. My juror is not broken. Luckily, it was just someone put the wrong soap in. This is why women should be washing the dishes. Okay, this is a joke. Nobody cancel us.
This is another thing that's like super fucking weird while I'm reading this list.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. The jurors, juror number 9, multiracial woman, 20s, juror number 92, white woman, 40s, black man, 30s, black woman, 60s, white woman, 50s. It's just, why are they?
They got to make it known that it's not just, they're I don't know if they do that for every single.
They're all black, white. Multiracial means mixed, but I don't know if it means that they're just.
Where's your community? Where's half your community's representation, man? Protest. We'll start a GoFundMe to fly you out to Minneapolis to protest at the fact there's no Asian people.
So there's no names actually, but I guarantee you I'd be able to find the names.
Yeah, they've probably told people what case they're on. Even though I don't know, like I said, if you in the comments know what the rules are, and like if you've been on jury duty before or something. And you know the rules about it, let us know. By the way, speaking of letting us know, if you're a first-time listener and you're subscribing on YouTube, let us know in the comments, man. We love all our new listeners. Make sure you hit that bell icon so you don't miss anything. Self-plug, and I know it's toxic, but it's what we have to do. Because I already know YouTube's going to hate us as we start to gain traction. I already know.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole nother topic. But do you think it's interesting that Chauvin didn't actually want to testify and he pleaded the fifth?
This is right.
Invoked his fifth. Oh.
I mean, this is right. Make some look bad,
or I mean, because like the defense rested their case. You know what I mean? They're done.
It's not that. It's not that it made him look bad. Literally anything he does in that courtroom in Minneapolis is going to make him look bad.
Yeah.
Literally anything him and the defense does.
My man chews bubblegum the wrong way. It's over with for him.
Yeah. Like, there's no way. Right. He sneezes. They're going to be like, yep, that was racially invoked.
Yep. So,
provoked.
Let's see. The judge, if I can find his name, I think it's Peter Cahill. He excused the jury. The prosecutor had a doctor come up who is a, if I can even pronounce this word correctly, a pulmonologist, who offered the testimony for the prosecution, saying that he essentially was the one that said because he died of low oxygen level, obviously. You know what I mean? That's what they're saying. There's Dr. Martin Tobin, who testified for the prosecutor, and then there's Dr. David Fowler, who testified for the defense. Fowler has done, he's one of the guys a lot of police go to for use of force. Or I won't say police, a lot of times he's called in for use of force breakdowns.
So, trials. Why haven't they, did they pull in the mortician yet?
I think that was earlier.
Was it? Okay.
I'd have to look it up. Because remember, they...
Oh, when, I do when remember Floyd that.
First died, they had two people do examine him.
Yeah, and one said autopsies. That it was due to drugs, and one said that it was due to the pressure on his neck.
Yeah. So ultimately, it's going to... who's going to come down to who has the most... So Tobin says, who has the most evidence to back, obviously, their claims? Tobin says it was lack of oxygen in his blood due to Chauvin being in the position he was for the amount of time he was. While Fowler, who is a forensic pathologist, said he suffered a heart arrhythmia due to his underlying heart disease with all these other. But what caused that to happen? That heart arrhythmia, I think I'm pronouncing that right, is up in the air.
Well, everything's saying within 6 days. Medical examiner says police remain cause of Floyd's death. Then CNN said heart disease, fentanyl contributed to George Floyd's death, but were not the killer. George Floyd died from the cardiopulmonary arrest, was positive for COVID-19. Yeah, there's just a bunch of stuff within the last, like, 6 days.
Dude was not healthy. Let's just say that. Dude was not healthy in that situation. And I'd like to reiterate the point. He's the one who got himself in that position. I'm not saying that what Chauvin, for the amount of time Chauvin was in that position, was the right thing, obviously. But Floyd did resist to the point where having to restrain him on the ground was the move they were going to have to make. You know what I mean? What that body cam footage they originally brought out that got leaked. It's interesting how that didn't get released immediately either. Because it was literally like 20 minutes of them, literally of him standing next to the car. It's like, hey, man, you know, just get in the car. They're being pretty nice with him, pretty chill. It's like, we'll even roll the window down for you and let you lay down in the car.
Yeah, he said didn't he say he didn't want to get in the car, though?
Yeah, eventually. Well, he was like, let me at least roll the window down. And the guy says, like, yeah. I mean, I don't know if he said that, but it got to the point where, like, yeah, we'll roll the window down for you. You know what I mean? You'd be chill. Nothing bad. And then all of a sudden, it kind of got to the point where, like, all right, dude. You know what I mean? Like, the patience wore out.
Yeah.
So, it's going to come down to which one. Was it the lack of oxygen due to Chauvin on the, you know, in that position? Or was it some other thing that caused the heart condition? From his whatever, you know what I mean? The heart arrhythmia due to his heart disease. It's whoever can provide the most evidence for that is what's going to sway the... What should sway the jury's decision, not will it? Because, again, I would... If there's anybody I would not want to be... All those positions in this case are horrible. Everyone's going to be under scrutiny. But the one position I would not be... Like, you couldn't pay me enough money to be in would be in the jury seat right now.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm telling you, dude, as soon as they all saw that notice, they're like, well, fuck, dude.
Yeah, because this is, again, this is a lose-lose situation, regardless of what happens. You know what I mean?
There's just going to really be... Is. They're either going to... cannot speak. They're either going to come to one of two conclusions, one or two verdicts, one of two, my bad. And it's either... Like, someone's going to be pissed off because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's always going to be pissed off about it.
It's literally the OJ case on steroids. Is what it is. Is what it reminds me of. Like, that level of... Like, people still argue that to this day about the OJ thing. Like, this will never... The ending of this was never going to be... It's never not going to be talked about. So, anyway, so the judge excused the jurors. The defense rests their case. But I'm pretty sure the prosecutor and the defense... prosecution and defense both rested their cases. So he excused the jurors, told them to return at 9 a.m. on Monday for closing arguments. After that, the jury is going to be sequestered for deliberations, and then we should have our verdict. Now, I don't know how long those deliberations are going to go on for. I imagine it's going to be a long time.
It's probably going to be like another, probably, I'd say a week.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. On that, and then three other I'm pretty sure it's three other cops that were with them.
It was two.
Oh, whatever. The remaining cops are gonna be tried, I think they said, jointly at some other time.
That rookie that was there, that boot, I feel so bad for him, dude.
I know. There's a lot of spots where it's just a messed up situation all around.
Chauvin had to be his TO.
Yeah, I think so.
His training officer. Either him or the other dude.
Was it the Asian guy that was his first day on the job?
Well, it wasn't his first day, but he was still in training, I want to say.
Yeah.
I know he was because he didn't have rank or anything.
It says the other three officers involved are charged with aiding and abetting.
Oh, so it was three. I thought I only saw... They're expected
to be tried jointly in August.
I only saw the Asian dude and then the other white dude.
Are they going to try them, do you think, before the Kim Potter? Or do you think they'll put her in there first?
She's already been told, like, what's going on. Like, she's getting charged. And so I feel like they're going to charge her first. Because, for one, like you told me in the last one, that didn't happen in Minneapolis.
Right.
She's not a part of it. So, might get charged at the same time. Who knows? But they're definitely going to be
doing... Well, I think they're trying to take it to the AG.
Are they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So that's why they're kind of waiting on it. yeah, that's, it's interesting. You know what I mean? But so moving to something a little bit, I want to say kind of foreshadowing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or not foreshadowing. I feel like we're living in a time loop right now. So after the Dante Wright shooting, the riot sparked up again. You know what I mean? So yeah. For those of y'all that don't know, which is would be, I feel like, very few of y'all. I mean, if you've been on the internet at all over the last summer, you would have seen, like, everyone posting black squares. Celebrities being like, if you need resources on how to be anti-racist or how to fight your racism, your inner racism, you know, click the link in my bio. I don't know how many of y'all actually did that.
I'd be disappointed.
I think I pulled this one off of Charlie D'Amelio's bio. I don't know if it's still there or not. I got the Google Docs list, and we were just going to take a little peek of it for the back half of this episode.
I want to see if Charlie Dorito's fucking profile pic's still the Black Lives Matter thing.
I don't want to say, this is going to sound really bad. I hate that slogan. That's such a loaded slogan.
Yep. It's still the fucking Black Lives Matter thing.
Nice. Like, I hate that slogan because obviously they matter.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
obviously. And it's so messed up because it's like, as soon as you disagree with that, again, the first card that posts, hell, you don't think Black Lives Matter? Like, no, obviously, I think they do. You know what I mean? I'd say Black Lives Matter to a lot of different people, or to almost everybody. Everybody's lives matter to everybody. You know what I mean? But
pedophile lives don't matter, though.
Yeah, pedophile lives matter. Yeah, screw them. No, nobody cares about them. All those people, screw that. If you want a really harmless prank, you could always do the look up your sex offenders list and go outside and honk outside their houses like Crowder did.
Did he do that? I didn't see this shit. I don't watch him that much.
It's public knowledge, man. So anyway, this Google Docs, we're going to take a look at it for some cheeky laughs.
Go for it.
So here it is. It is called the Anti-Racism Resource List. There's a quote from Angela Davis, who is apparently like a leading scientist or doctor in racism, I guess.
Oh, that made my face really white. Wow. Okay, or keep
your other half. Your other half's coming out, brother.
I know, it's fucked.
Anyway, so what they were looking at, what we're looking at here is, you can look at this, it's just look up antiracismforbeginners.com. This is what'll pop up, this Google Doc. So the quote at the top says, in a racist society, it is not enough to be non-racist. We must be anti-racist. When is it not enough to be non-racist? And isn't everybody anti-racist? Like, yeah. isn't
everyone almost, besides actual racists?
Yeah, everyone except actual racists, who are very far and few between, might I add. This idea that we live in a predominantly racist society is a lie. And I am going to the grave with that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Switching up the webcam angle here, boys. So let's continue to read. As we're looking, you scroll down. It says the most common questions and fears I hear about speaking against racism for the first time are, I'm afraid that I don't know enough. How? That's a stupid thing to die on. Hold on. You should know enough about racism that it's just not okay. That's literally all you need to know. Am I missing something here?
Racism is just, I mean, there's a textbook definition for racism. Racism is believing that your race, your own race, is more superior and on a higher tier than other races. Yeah. And all you have to do is look up Google, and that should tell you everything that you need to know.
Discrimination and prejudice on the basis of race.
Like,
if one's race is superior.
If you can't tell the difference between, like, racism and ableism and all that other shit, then that's on you, because it's a pretty simple concept.
Yeah. You don't, the most you need to know about racism to speak out against it is to know it's bad, which is common knowledge.
You see that's someone you ridiculing another person, demeaning them for the color of their skin or their race, their ethnicity, that's racism.
I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing is the number two most common questions and fears, apparently, this person, whoever made this document, hears. That's actually not a bad one, because a lot of people say call a lot of people or a lot of things racist that are not in particular, like, they're not particularly racist.
It's everything.
Math racist. Is racist. That's wrong. I wouldn't say math is racist, like when we covered that. And it says, I don't know what steps to take or how to take action. Here's a step to take to speak out against racism. Just don't be racist.
Get a gun.
That too. don't condone racist behavior. That's simple. That's so easy. There's none of this, like, you need to actively go out and, like, beat the crap out of racists. Like, dude, here's how you beat a bully, right? Other than, like, in high school, you'd be like, yeah, physically confront your bully. That doesn't always work, because sometimes the bully's bigger and stronger than you. And I'm not saying that's not the case, but you make them feel alone. You know what I mean? If you're actively condoning racism, or actively, denouncing racism, not condoning, but condemning racism, there's a word, you shouldn't have to take any further actions.
So, the way to not go about racism, let's take, you know, Skye Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Take her as an example. She sees something racist, and she will, like, go out of her way to send shit to people's schools to, like, ruin people's families' lives and shit like that. Like, she'll do that over a racist meme or a racist joke someone posts, where, like, you'll go in the comments.
It wasn't even
that racist, but, like, you'll go in the comments and there's, like, people of color laughing at the joke that the creator made, or laughing at the meme. She's like, okay, well, he made this, it offended me, why don't I ruin his family's life? That's not how you go about it.
Here's how you go about it. Just say, hey, I thought that was pretty racist, you know what I mean?
And leave it at that. You're probably gonna get some hate if you say some shit like that on something that's obviously a joke. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's social media, you sign up for it, you better deal with it.
Anyway,
Same goes for people that make the racist jokes. It's social media. Mm-hmm. You sign up for it, you better deal with it.
This document, as we continue to kind of break it down a little bit, is essentially there. So if you ever hear people say, let me educate you, or you need to get educated on racism, this is supposed to tell you how you can educate yourself on racism. So it says, please note, in this green text, that my desire here is to point to you, Black, Indigenous, people of color, whatever, BIPOC, educators and activists, not to share my own voice. I compile these resources from heaps of wonderful educational materials they've already created. Shout out to all those people.
You already know that the wonderful educational materials that they're talking about is not real life education. Right. They didn't learn that shit from real life.
Table of contents. Thank God they actually included that. Says, what is white privilege? What is systematic racism? What is white fragility? I want to click that one because I hate that term. And they're probably
white fragility.
Yeah, that'll, what I just said will be claimed as white fragility.
It's like fragile masculinity.
Yeah. What does it mean if you stay silent about racism? How does white feminism exclude women of color? Hey, at least I think I agree on that one. Not to exclude women of color, but I think white feminism is stupid, retarded. How do I talk to my kids about racism? How do I talk about this stuff with people who are... First of all, the whole kids with racism thing, I hate. No kid, right, other than if they're raised racist. Like, when I was little, I would play on the playground with anybody. I didn't care what the color of their skin was. I wasn't even thinking about that. I was too busy playing, like, tag or tetherball. You know what I mean?
It's the thing. It's like, if you don't want your kids to worry about racism and all the stuff going on in the world, because racism is a very small, like, there's a small portion of people that are actually racist. Yeah. If you want them to not worry about racism and you don't want them to be brainwashed, don't let them get social media at 5 years old. Don't let them watch the news.
Don't even make them start thinking about that, because children are the most pure, like, embodiment of the human race.
They're not corrupt yet.
Yeah, they haven't been shown all these horrible things in the world. So let's continue. What is white fragility? I am kind of interested. Oh, yes, they tell you need to read books. But luckily, I think they wrote some things out. So it says, It's a level of societal advantage that comes with being seen as the norm in America. First of all, let me tackle that. Yes, being white is the norm in America because, well,
you're in a predominantly white country, bud.
That's crazy.
It's almost like you didn't know that.
You know what? Will you look up what the percentage of America is white?
Yeah.
I think it's like
70. Take a guess. Take it. Yeah, what do you think? 70, 75?
High 60s, low 70s.
Let's see.
Mid to low 70s. Tell me what it is. So wait, does that mean you get half white fragility?
Apparently. Oh, yeah. White people constitute the majority of the U.S. population with a total of about 234,370,000 or 73% of the population as of 2017. The white share of the population exceeds... Oh, including multiracial people, the white share of the population exceeds 75%. Non-Hispanic whites make up 60.7% of the country's population.
So white Hispanics would be people from Spain.
Yeah.
Because they're white. By the way.
It's not like people from Mexico.
Yeah. Also, if you say white people don't have culture, white people from Spain would very much like to argue against that point. So would Italians and Irish.
France.
And just about anybody. And Americans, white Americans. We have culture. The American culture. It is a level of societal advantage, whatever, in North America. Yada, yada, yada. Automatically conferred, irrespective of wealth, gender, or other factors. It makes life smoother. But it's something you would barely notice unless it was suddenly taken away or unless it had never applied to you in the first place. For example, taking it for granted that when you're shopping alone, you probably won't be followed or harassed. You know, I was at Walmart today. I saw a lot of non-white shoppers. Not once did I see them followed or harassed the entire time.
I was followed in high school a couple times, but that's because I used to steal shit. So, I mean...
Well, yeah, like, my brother and his friends will sometimes get followed because they're the guys that, like, go to the sporting section and get, like, the softballs and stuff and just launch them across the store, like, you know, softball in the store. So, knowing that if you ask to speak to the person in charge, you'll almost certainly be facing someone of your own race. Again, that's just because that's the majority.
That seems like...
That's so hard to understand and wrap your head around. That's like, if I were to go to South Africa, right? I don't know what, like, major food chain or superstore chains are in South Africa. You know what I mean? Or just Africa in general. You know what I mean?
If you go there and you ask, yeah, like, it's going
to
be
speak to somebody in charge? What are the odds it's going to be a black person? Pretty high odds.
Yeah. I'd say it's probably about the same odds of, like, the... Or same percentage of the amount of white people here, because they do have white Africans, because obviously white people that are born in Africa, that live in Africa, they're Africans.
Right.
And so I'd say it's probably predominantly around 70-75%.
I think I saw on Twitter that hopeless void, the abyss of absolute retardation. Someone was like, I'm African-American. I was like, no, you're not. You're white. And he's like, dog, I'm literally from Africa. Born in Africa.
Yeah.
I am African-American. Anyway, whatever. So...
I wonder if that would work the same, like, if an Asian person was born in Africa. What would that be? African-Asian?
I don't know. Because I think they're trying to say, like, African-American means you come from African descent. But what if my great-great-grandfather was white, was in Africa, was one of the Dutch farmers? You know what I mean?
It's like a gray area.
Yeah. Just say black and white. It's not that hard. Or just, ultimately, just stop saying African-American. Just say American.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say white American. Just say American. Because that's what you are. You are an American. The sooner we stop dividing everybody by the race or classifying things by race, the sooner racism will go away, honestly. The people that are keeping racism still alive and relevant, honestly, in my opinion, are people like this.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know what I mean? What makes you feel like you have the need to make a whole entire document about how you can be less racist?
Yeah.
And think you're fighting racism because you're all these... blatant lies and all the like all just these idiotic examples. Mm-hmm. It's like no one's going to come in here and be like, you know what? I am racist. It's like, no, the person that wrote this is fucking retarded and she needs to check right. herself. Retarded she or is he. All get
out. Yeah. So it's like, another example saying being able to think about different social, political, or professional options without asking whether someone of your race would be accepted or allowed to do what you want to do.
Okay. Well, wait, okay. I'm about to pull up the Asian statistic.
Wait. Does that say... Wait, hold on. Let me reread that while you're doing that. Being able to think about different social, political, or professional options without asking whether someone of your race would be accepted or allowed to do what you want to do. You know what I think about this? As I think about how many black right-leaning people there are you see on social media. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And how... Or the just people any that... person of color that is right-leaning. Like, they want to be right-leaning. That's where their opinions lie.
The people that aren't accepting them are their own people.
Yeah, they call them coons, or they call them Uncle Toms, or race traders, or sellouts.
The problem I have with that example is, like, being able to think about different social, political, or professional opinions, that the professional, or professional options, my bad, and that leads me to think, like, they're saying that people of color are at a societal disadvantage when it comes to employment.
Right.
But, I mean, if you take a look, I mean, in my opinion, like, whatever you decide to do, that's up to you. If you are in a low-income family and you had the possibility or the ability to make yourself successful and you just decide not to do it, that's on you. It doesn't matter your race. Right. Asian people, and this is where I'm getting to the cultural part, because Asian people, Asian families pride themselves on education. They pride themselves on, you know, getting a good job.
Tight-knit family.
Yeah, and they're
the family.
And they're the top. They're hard on their family because they, like, you know, all A-B. I'm Asian. Don't cancel me. But that's why Asian people are some
only
of the top.
Half. You're walking a thin line there, bucko.
That's why I'm only half educated. But that's why Asian people are some of the top earners in our country, because culturally, the family wants them to succeed.
Right. Yeah, that's... Indians are up there, too, I believe.
Yeah, well. Indians are up there. Asians are up there.
I guess Indians are Asians.
Oh, yeah.
Oriental people,
Japanese, Korean,
and
Vietnamese.
Indians, yeah. As well as, so, like, because, yeah, that's a cultural thing. So, like, I think about, like, a poor white kid who's not going to go to college.
Who just smokes weed all the time and doesn't want to leave McDonald's.
I guess, yeah, that too. You see a lot of that. But I'm talking about more like, what is it that a lot of the white kids that don't go to college end up doing? Working immediately. You know what I mean? They're either working, helping out with their family, or they go into, like, a trade. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like, versus, like, there's kind of the cultural thing I feel like in the black community where it's like, woe is me sometimes. And I'm not saying this is the case for everybody, but it's just what it's perceived to be. You know what I mean? Kind of like a woe is me, the society is against me, I can't succeed. You know what I mean? Like, that's mm-hmm. not good. Like, there's definitely some cultural things in there.
You have a lot of people of color who, in minority groups, I shouldn't say minority groups, it's obviously completely up to individuals.
Right.
But a large majority of them are just like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to strive to do it. A lot of minorities that come from low-income families put themselves through college. Like, they want to work that hard. They want to do their education while also working their job. While also, like, they're taking a shit ton of classes, working a job in college. And
there's
next
scholarships
thing you know,
for them.
Yeah. And then you're making good money. And if you work hard enough, I know some places you can get a, like, your last 2 years, I think, yeah, that's a scholarship thing. Like, if they notice you right after sophomore year,
mm-hmm.
they'll pay for the rest of your college. And sometimes right. you'll get money back, too. So it's like, if you want to work for it, then work for it. But don't blame your any inconvenience to you or your lack of, like, strive, I guess, on everyone else.
Right. And going back to being able, you can think about different whatever paths in life, professional options. I see it a lot. It's like, let's say when someone who's from the hood, like, I've seen it in my own, with my own two eyes with some of my friends. When you see someone who maybe made their way or scraped their way out the hood or a bad area, like, you know, a black kid or something like that, then they start speaking with good grammar. Same with country kids like me. You know what I mean? You start to speak with good grammar, complete sentences. You're not slurring or whatever. like black kids will get called like, why are you speaking white, or you're whitewashed.
And then that's not like, good for their mental health either.
That's perceived as a negative thing, though, to speak with correct grammar. Just like even like again, me from you're from the South too. It's yeah. like people who talk, who ain't like I have a country accent and I still use country slang. You know what I mean? But when I do try and use proper grammar, sometimes I do get made fun of by my friends for it. It's like, you speak in Northern, you speak in proper. You know what I mean? It's like, and again, that's perceived as a negative thing. Why?
I still say crick.
Yeah. Those are some things I'm not going to change like that. But, and now that ain't is officially in the dictionary.
Yeah, that's all proper my grammar. English
teachers can screw off. Anyway. Oh, also.
You ever notice, like, well, you're still in the South, but for me, like, if I go back to Texas for, like, 2 weeks to a month,
mm-hmm.
and then I come, like, back here, I don't notice it, but I have my accent back, like, completely.
Yeah, I that's how it is for me, too, when I get around my old friends. But the other thing, too, also, is, like, I lived in Ohio for a stint, so it's, yeah. like, when I moved back to Tennessee, a lot of people were making fun of me from being from the North and not... Again, it's not speaking the way, speaking maybe with some more proper grammar, you know what I mean, and complete sentences and not saying slang and whatnot and slurring words.
That's why grammar's just different everywhere. We have our own quote-unquote right. proper. It's like, oh, yeah, the flow, not the fucking floor. And
you
then...
Should, yeah, but you shouldn't treat that negatively. Like, that's what oh, I'm yeah, trying to no. say. It's treated negatively, I feel like, sometimes within the black community, and that's just not... It's not good. Like, if someone wants to speak... clearly, or they're trying to change, they're trying to sound, you know, higher educated, if you will, because even, like, there's people, and I'm not saying this, like, oh, wait, so how, I'm black, and I speak like this, like, I'm from the hood, I don't sound educated, no, that's not what I'm trying to say, because there's plenty of white people that make it out of the country that start using big words, and trust me, we make fun of them, too, you know what
every
I mean?
Every time.
Yeah, every time. Like, whoa, calm down there, Ben Shapiro. You know what I mean?
Like when someone
started, we've used that a couple times within my friend group with people.
It's like,
use big words.
I didn't go to college. I'm in the military. Like, my education, besides, like, doing research, like, school education is just fucking high school.
Right.
And so, like, when I go home, I'll start using big words because I'll start talking politics with my friends. They're just like, dude, why are you talking like that? I'm just like, what? They're like, yeah. We don't know what that word means. You expect us to know what that word means? I'm like, no, right. But you have a fucking phone. Google it.
Exactly. Also, the same statement, being able to think about different social or political or professional options without asking whether someone of your race would be accepted or allowed to do what you want to do. That can be applied to white people in sports, by the way. Sports are predominantly not white. There's a few sports remaining where it's majority white. I don't even know what the baseball statistics are at, but that's where I'm thinking. Golf.
It's, I know baseball is, yeah, golf, obviously. Rugby.
Hockey.
Rugby has a very high percentage of players that are white, but they're white, but they're not from America because obviously rugby is.
Hockey and soccer as well.
Yeah, rugby is very big overseas. Not right. Obviously not huge over here. For some reason, at my high school, it was. But a lot of them are white, but, you know, they're from Italy, France, everywhere around there.
Right. Yeah. Like that literally can be applied to everybody. And the only person holding you back from achieving what you want to in life is yourself. And whether or not you're going to cave into what you're culturally being, you know, what your culture or whatever, where you're coming from, or what your group says that you should be acting, you know what yeah. I mean, or how you should be. If you want to achieve something, if you want to be CEO of a company, and you know it's going to take a lot of work, dude, just put your nose down and grind.
My friend RJ, I went to high school with him, he went from straight up just selling weed, that was his only source of income.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good weed. But selling weed.
He's from Colorado, people. Or he's not no. from, he's where he lives. He's in Colorado.
Yeah, no, this is back in Oregon, though. And he was selling weed. That's all he was doing. I got a call from him last year in, like, November or October or November. And he hit me up. He's just like, when I picked up the phone, he started talking. I'm like, who the fuck is this? And keep in mind, he's black. He came from a very low-income family. There was no father there. The mom was on, like, crack or something. And him and I started talking. I'm like, so what are you doing? I was like, oh, yeah, I'm in med school. I'm like, how the fuck do you do that? Weed money? He's like, no, I paid for it. I actually started working. I'm like, see? That's a great example of you can do your own shit. You can pay for your own shit. You mm-hmm. can get your education that you want to.
Yeah.
Fragility.
Yeah, I want to do this, and then we'll talk about something else, and that'll be it. The white fragility thing actually makes me upset. And everyone's going to, like I said earlier, everyone's like, oh, that's your white fragility showing.
If you're mad, then she's talking about you.
Uh-huh. It says, referring to the defensive moves that white people make when challenged racially, white fragility is characterized by emotions such as anger, fear, and guilt, and by behaviors including argumentation and silence. These behaviors in turn function to reinstate white racial equilibrium and prevent any meaningful cross-racial dialogue. Let me explain real quick. Cross-racial dialogue would be what I was talking about, the black community, and I'm not black. The reason why a lot of that isn't frowned upon, or saying, or say it can't happen, is because if I were to speak like that a lot of the times, or if somebody gets a hold of this, they'll be in the comments, be like, you don't know what you're talking about. You can't speak on that. You're not white. I mean, you're not black. You're white. You don't know what you're talking about. So I can't speak. I can't have cross-racial dialogue. You know what I mean? I can't talk to people. I can't talk about what I perceive the culture to be. And they are more than welcome to come and talk about what they think my culture will be. You know what I mean? And
Wait. Is this saying like you shouldn't talk about their culture, or you shouldn't talk like them?
No, it's saying all these things, these reactions of anger, fear, and guilt, and silence and argumentation are the reasons why you can't have that, prevent any meaningful cross-racial dialogue.
Yeah, no, I get that, but is it talking about like you, if you talk like someone from the hood, is that what it's getting at?
No, it's saying, so like white fragility be like, okay, you've seen this on TikTok, to be like some person of color make a video and they'll be like, white people are racist, or white person will be like, white people are racist, and they'll go on this attack of against white people.
Yeah, and then white people defend themselves. And then all the white people
get upset. And yeah, like, how are you not going to get upset? Like, calling somebody racist, even though it is losing a little bit of its weight today, which is kind of sad.
Dude, it's not even that it's losing a little bit. It's that, like, literally the word racist or racism, like, y'all can get mad if you want, but it literally holds no meaning to me anymore because everything's fucking racist. Right. And it's like, how are you going to be mad that a white person defends themselves when you call them racist for no reason and generalize the white population, saying or stating that they're racist? It's like, what do you expect them to say?
Like, it's literally,
yeah,
like,
I guess so.
It's literally like this. It's like, let me use an analogy. It's equal to if I were to run up to Tristan, right, and smack you across the face and then run away. It's like hit and run. You know what I mean? You can't expect that person not to retaliate.
It's
especially
like,
when they want to defend yourself, when you're attacking literally who they are.
It's like no one is going to sit there and just be like, yeah. And if there's any young people watching this, defending yourself when someone tells you that you are racist does not make you more racist, because that's the argument they're going to make. They're just like, oh, well, that's exactly what a racist person
fragility.
Would say.
That's white fragility.
Yeah. It's like,
Your fragility is showing.
It's just, dude, these people wouldn't last in a Call of Duty lobby like 5 years ago. Like, how are they going to survive in the real world? It makes absolutely no sense.
It doesn't make sense. Again, like, yeah, racism is definitely, to some people, like Tristan and I, has lost all sense of weight. But
once you
it
tell
still
me
holds that,
that
to some people. So, like, if I were to sit there and if you were to sit there and call me racist, yes, I'm going to be upset I really don't care. I'm talking, so like if I was some, you know, rando white person on the internet and I saw a video that's millions of likes, it's like all white people are racist and starts attacking the white race. Like, people are going to get upset about that because you're generalizing them and you're demonizing them. Most of these people who don't know you and are the majority of people out there are good people who aren't racist, who just want to live their life without being scrutinized by the color of their skin, which I argue everyone wants it to be that way, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But you're attacking them for it.
It's like the thing. So I grew up, obviously, in an Asian family, and growing up, I looked tremendously more fucking Asian than I do now. It's evolution, you know? So,
you turned into a superior. Okay, that's a joke. He's only half superior.
But I grew up looking very Asian. I experienced like racism in schools, and back then, like, I didn't really, like, back then, same as now, I didn't fucking think anything about it. And now, like, back then it actually meant something. Like, back then experiencing racism in the early 2000s was, like, an actual, it had to be a racist act. But right. y'all want to cancel a fucking syrup bottle, and that's just where I'm like, you know what? Racism doesn't hold any power anymore. Like, honestly,
the final straw for me is math.
Well, yeah, math. Math, syrup, Land O'Lakes, all of that. It's like, it holds no power. And, I mean, yeah, it's obviously going to hold power against these people that are defending themselves when you call them racist. I mean, hell, I've been called racist by the same people who say that my people can't be racist. Me and my people can't be racist. So it's just
now there's hashtag stop Asian hate crime.
Literally, racism, literally the definition of racism to me now is just confusion.
Yeah.
Because no one knows that what racism actually is. Like we said earlier in the video, racism, the definition is people who think that their race is superior than another's.
Yeah. It's
how is a syrup bottle superior than anything? How is the person who made the syrup bottle? What? How long was that syrup bottle been out for?
I miss
Aunt Jemima. It's been out for a long. It's just this. I hate this place. I fucking hate it here.
I hate it here, but I'm not gonna leave because I really like this country.
Yeah, I love this country. I just hate this generation. It's just fucking ridiculous. And the shitty thing is because all this started happening now. Like while I mean. You're about to turn 20, right?
21.
Oh, yeah. You're about to turn 21. I'm 21. And all these new generations that are coming after us are all going to be the same exact fucking way that they are right now. Because their parents are going to be our generation and millennials. And millennials are even fucking... Well, I wouldn't say they're worse, but they're up there with us. They started it. They started it, but we are the ones who radicalized it, so...
Mm-hmm. All in all, man, look. As we close, just because you're a certain race doesn't mean you're held back. You're only held back by what you allow yourself to believe that you're held back by.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. If you have big dreams, goals, and aspirations, man, grind for it. You might not always achieve those goals, right? But it's still good to have goals and dreams and aspirations.
Because if you didn't,
there'd be nothing worth working towards.
It's,
you know what I mean?
Trial and error. So, like, everyone listening to this, when I say everyone, I'm talking to the younger generation. If you fail, who gives a fuck? In all honesty, it's just, you're going to fail. If you think you failed once and you're fucking 15 years old, dude, wait till you're fucking 18, 19, 20, and 21.
Right.
You're going to hate your life.
And on top of that, there's a saying out there that says, you can shoot for the moon, but even if you miss... You know what I mean? You'll still land in the stars. You know what I mean?
Thought it was Mars.
It doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Shoot that might have been what Elon Musk said.
Shoot for any planet out there in space. Even if you miss, you'll still be amongst the stars.
Different galaxy, but you'll still be there.
But, outside of that, man, look. Don't let anything hold you down. Not everything's racist. And don't be surprised if you call somebody racist. And they get up in arms about it because it is a very serious claim still.
That's an extreme accusation that's just, you can't just throw that around.
Yeah. I know we said that this video is going to be shorter, and it is.
A little bit. This 20 minutes.
A little bit shorter, yeah. We are still working on cutting it down a little bit. Hey, but once we get going, sometimes we can't stop. We appreciate y'all so much. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Hit that bell icon. There's a lot of percentage of you guys that have. It's awesome. So we appreciate y'all, man. Follow us on Twitter, Pure American Pod. If you're listening to us via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever, man, we appreciate y'all. Follow us on there and let us know what you think in the comments or leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever. I don't know if you can, and let us know what you think, man. Other than that, it's been fun. We'll see y'all. I'll know about next week because you and I might be out of town next week.
Next week ain't the trip.
No, it's the week after.
So we'll be good for next week.
Tristan and I are going to go meet up with some political buddies. So at some point, end of the month. So we won't be here for that. But we appreciate y'all, man. And we'll see y'all Wednesday. And we'll see what happens after the Chauvin trial when they come back on Monday.
That will also be within the next episode.
Yep. We appreciate y'all, man. Peace.